Larry, if you would like to give your some of your remembrances, we'd sure appreciate it right now, if you guys don't mind. Back away from the microphone. Larry's a pretty busy guy. He's got a lot of things going, and we're really lucky to have him here tonight. So back away, and tell us about Ray. We met him in Seattle, and we met Merity. Actually, Ray's ex-wife was there, and they're both madly in love with him, I think, singing his praises. It was wonderful, so cute. And Ray just was so funny. Anyway, let's back off and see if Larry Gassman can talk to us a little about an icon in OTR, Ray Erlenborn.
Yeah, it's funny. There are some people that, you know, I knew better than others. Ray, John and I met, I think, first probably in about 1981. He came to a Spurtvac meeting, and he talked for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours, and didn't bring any of his sound effects, but he talked, he did all of his voices, several from Dr. Doolittle, because he did all the voices from that TV, from that movie, so if you ever can rent that. You know, I think that's also on DVS, I think. I'll have to go back and look. But anyway, he did all the voices. We first met him in 81, and he talked a lot about vaudeville, because he was involved in vaudeville. He talked about radio, talked about television. He worked with Charlie Chaplin. He worked with many different people, going back to the mid-teens of radio. And after that, we didn't have a convention at Spurtvac till 94, and Cliff Thorsness did the first one, but I think Ray did just about all the ones after that. And Ray was a perfectionist. By that point in time, he was living in the valley, and then eventually moved to the Palm Desert. Actually, Yucca. Was it? No, it wasn't Yucca Valley. It was the Palm Desert area near Palm Springs. But he did several of our conventions with other sound effects people at first, and he was a perfectionist. He was also interesting. Ray was one of those people, and I think probably because over the years, sound effects didn't get the kind of credit that radio actors did. So Ray and Bob and even others who were sound effects men were a little touchy about the fact that they didn't get credit. And in a couple of cases, at Spurtvac as well as other organizations, they didn't always get credit, cast credit, and they were the first to come up and say, hey, what about me? Because what they really were sound effects artists. They really were. They, for Spurtvac especially, remember, they hadn't done this for quite a while. We asked them to get into a rather inopportune situation of trying to make something work in a ballroom, not a regular studio. And so they would sometimes work with us a month or two ahead of time to try and get it together in terms of trying to get the right sound effects together. And they didn't have access to all their sound effects. They had access to some of them, not to all of them. And so, you know, we would say, can you do these shows? And they would look and they'd say, well, let me think. Do I have enough sound effects? And if I don't, how do I make it work? And so in many cases for us, and eventually for Friends of Old Time Radio and Seattle Reps, they would create sound effects because they didn't have the effects that they had 30 to 40 years ago when they had a whole studio of effects available to them when they worked in radio. But they always said, yes, we'll always make it work. And they always sometimes, they worked themselves big time, and you know, all weekend, and they were tired when they finished. But boy, the things that they did were incredible. And then eventually when Ray and Bob joined together, it worked very well. They lived also not close enough to each other so they could each visit each other, because Bob lives in Arroyo Grande, which is way above Santa Barbara, and Ray eventually moved down to Thousand Oaks area. But they emailed each other and they called each other, and they had to do that for our convention as well as others. Ray was one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. I talked to him probably last about 3 or 4 months ago. And we just talked about what he was doing. He was writing a newsletter for the community where he lives, or lived. And he was still doing some sound effects, although he wasn't doing a lot. Most of his effects, in fact, just about everything he had, was given to the radio enthusiasts of Puget Sound. Up until a few years ago, he was also doing pratfalls. Ray was a vision kind of a sound effects man. So he did all kinds of things visually. He was a ham, in the best sense of the word, as well. He would do anything he could for you, although in the last few years he did back off a little bit. He was just one of the nicest people you'd ever want to meet, and he would call frequently just to say, hi, how are you? He and Merity I saw at every convention I went to, and they'd always make a point of coming up to say hello. Oftentimes we had breakfast. I've told this story, and I wrote it in some of the radio lists, but I'll tell it again. Years ago at the Spirit Vet convention, and he did this as, not just at our convention, but he told other people this story. We were talking about radio, and we were talking about films, and we were talking about television and other media where he was involved. And he did just about every Hollywood radio show you can think of, especially from the comedy perspective. But we were talking about what was going to happen eventually, and he was in his 80s then. And eventually he said, you know, we'll slow down, and we won't be able to do this anymore. So we'll do it as long as we can do it, and we'll do it well. Otherwise, we won't do it at all. But we talked about the fact that he said, you know, one of these days, you know, eventually when it's time for me to stop, and eventually when I die, he said, I want it to be written on my tombstone, Erlen born, Erlen died. And I just thought that was pretty cool because I hadn't even thought about that, but obviously he had. So he enjoyed the reaction that John and I both gave him, as well as other people as well. A very nice man up until the end. And I called Meredy, his wife, the other day. And it was very eerie because I think it was Sunday or Monday, Melinda and I called just to say hello. And we didn't get her. She was out or maybe not taking phone calls. I'm not sure. But we called, and there was Ray's voice on the answering machine. Very crisp, very nice, you know, saying, please leave your message. I'm not available. We're not available to take your call. But they still traveled and still went up to Seattle a lot, and even Friends of Old Time Radio up until recently. Up until the end, he was still involved. And, you know, I'll always have fond memories of Ray. And so will Bob Mott. He couldn't say enough about Ray in the conversations we've had in the past. Anyway, he'll be missed. I enjoyed being with him, and I enjoyed being his friend. Thank you.
Larry, thank you. Larry, can you cite any shows? Okay, Dr. Doolittle, I think it is in DVS, and I'm sure going to check it. Were there any other shows that are standouts, you know, during Old-Time Radio that Ray was a part of, that he did, so that we could just center in on it a little bit?
I wonder if I can do this. Yeah, you got Jaws in the background. I know I'm trying to find his radio chronology, and I just keyed on it. So, he did. He worked with Roy Rogers, CBS, for many years in terms of Hollywood, almost primarily. Am I popping in and out? I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's the fact that I'm using my Jaws cursor as well, and maybe it's not working. TV, he did the Carol Burnett Show. I don't know that he gets much credit, but he talked about those shows a lot, just working with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman and people like that. He said it was so neat because it was so zany, and some of the things were scripted, other things worked better because they weren't. And he was also one of the most great, one of the finest ad-lib people I've ever met because... you know, when he would do scripts and things like that, when he would do acting jobs, he would sometimes play around with the script a little bit. And he was a fine actor. He did a nice job. I'm trying to think. Anyway, so I can't remember what I finished with and what we talked about. I don't know. Captain Andy, did I mention that? He did Captain Andy for years in Dinner Theater and loved doing that show. But I don't know where I left off, and I don't know if you want me to continue or if you want me to stop. So I'll unkey and maybe I can get... the part that I missed from you later on, Bob. We'll see.
We were basically asking questions, but I didn't know he played Captain Andy in Showboat. Oh, my goodness. That's a good role, you know. He was quite a versatile guy.
I was going to answer Bob's question about Captain Andy, or somebody's question. Captain Andy, Ray did play Captain Andy for years and years and years. Didn't do sound effects. But in Dinner Theater, you played a lot of different parts, and he wasn't always a sound effects man. Grace Matthews, I'm trying to think. I believe she played Margot Lane on The Shadow in 46, 47, I think. I'd have to go back and look it up. But if we can find out specifically when she played it, and I think it was like in the 47 year, you can go back and look for programs that appeared in that time frame, and you'll be pretty safe in knowing that you're going to be able to hear her. Leslie Woods played it a little earlier. I think Grace Matthews played it after her.
I want to ask Larry. Larry, did Ray Erlenborn play Captain Andy on the radio show Showboat?
No. No, he only did it in Dinner Theater, which was primarily in the 70s. You know, Brett Morrison was the Shadow for a while, then he left. He was the Shadow in 44 after Bill Johnstone. Then he left for a little while, and John Archer played the Shadow, and another gentleman did, and then Brett came back. So, yeah, he played opposite Marjorie Anderson. Then he left, came back, and played opposite Grace Matthews and Leslie Woods, and then later Gertrude Warner. I can't remember when exactly, but I think 49-50. But that's already documented, so I mean, we can easily find that out because it talks about when the various people played the part, so that's not a problem.
Grace Matthews was Margot Lane from 1946 to 1949, and Gertrude Warner took over in 1949 to 1954.
Okay, and then Marjorie Anderson must have been the last Margot Lane then, because the Shadow left the air in 1955.
Marjorie Anderson played a couple of characters on the Shadow back in the Orson Welles era, and I think she may have played Marjorie Anderson with him once or twice. But she played the part of Marjorie Anderson with Bill Johnstone just about the whole way, and even into the Bill Brett Morrison era. And then eventually she died shortly thereafter, I believe of cancer. But that's what my memory is. But she died early on. And Margot Stevenson played Margot Lane for a brief while, I think in 45. Not for very long, just for a few episodes.
The Pit and the Pendulum. Matthew, do you have a date on this, please?
Okay, yes. You are correct, Bob. Hyman Brown took out E.G. Marshall's original narration and did the same narration, but his voice. And if you get these episodes in your collection, they'll be clearer. But the original broadcast date was the 4th of March, 1975. And it has Tony Roberts, and I don't have it right in front of me, but Tony Roberts was, I think, the main character. So March the 4th, 1975 was the original air date of this, and then Hyman brought it back in 1998. So there you go, the Pit and the Pendulum.
Thank you, Matthew. I'm betting the other one is Evie Juster, but I could be wrong. We'll find out. Without any further ado, I want to introduce the host of Yesterday once more, Mr. Rob Hancock of Pittsburgh, PA. No, Bethlehem, PA. Kevin will never let me live that one down. Rob Hancock of Bethlehem, PA.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Yesterday Once More. Yesterday Once More is the program that turns back the hands of time to those thrilling days of old-time radio. Well, today we don't go back quite as far as we usually do. We go back to 1998 when they tried to bring back the CBS Radio Mystery Theater with Hyman Brown as host. The story we're going to hear is The Pit and the Pendulum. So there's a very special way of enjoying Yesterday Once More, and that is to sit back in your favorite easy chair and relax, because it's Yesterday Once More.
Come in. Welcome. Welcome to Mystery Theater. I'm Hyman Brown. Torture is my subject this time around. Oh, don't be alarmed. I have no intention of shocking you with unmentionable horrors. For you see, there are all sorts of torments invented by man to bedevil his fellow man. And perhaps the most subtle of these is man's fear of the unknown. We are so constructed, it seems to me, that we can almost always cope with the known, whatever it may be. But when we don't know, when we don't know what lies ahead, what nameless nightmare may await, let's illustrate with Todd Stearns and his wife, Tammy.
Todd, what if you tell them what they want to know?
It could mean the end of this country, Tammy. It could mean the end of the world.
The world?
The world.
Mr. X mentioned torture, didn't he?
Yes.
Will you be able to stand it?
Fred Wilkinson has...
I think so. Once I know what it is. But Mr. X is clever. He won't tell me. He knows that not knowing, that's the worst torture of all.
Our mystery drama, The Pit and the Pendulum was especially adapted from the Edgar Allan Poe classic for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther, and stars Tony Roberts and Marion Seldes. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The Forward, the English language Jewish weekly, would like to ask your help in resolving two conflicting points of view. Some are of the opinion that not even one Jewish person in 100 would be interested in reading a national Jewish newspaper, even if it were brilliantly written, and even if 4 issues were offered free. But others firmly believe that Jewish people in America are yearning for a newspaper of their own, one that would give them political, international, cultural news and analysis from a Jewish perspective, and would welcome the chance to receive 4 free issues of The Forward. Who's right? Only you can decide. That's why The Forward is making this offer, to send you 4 free issues. Then you'll receive 52 more for only $34.46. That's 56 issues in all at 38% off the newsstand price. If you're not completely satisfied, just write cancel on the bill and you'll owe nothing. So call now for your 4 exciting free issues of The Forward, the national Jewish weekly that's blazing new trails in American journalism. Call 800-253-7800. That's 800-253-7800.
Just about all my dreams have come true, except one, a cure for diabetes. Hello, I'm Mary Tyler Moore, chairman of the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation, the research organization that provides more money directly toward diabetes research than any other private health agency in the world. And it's really paying off. Did you know researchers are now testing ways to prevent the onset of diabetes in children, thanks to JDF-funded research? And we're getting closer to finding a cure every day. If you'd like to find out about these major advancements and read all about the other exciting developments in diabetes research, call the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation today at 1-800-JDF-CURE. Ask us to send you a free copy of our Diabetes Research Progress Report. We'd like to share all this great news with you. So just call 1-800-JDF-CURE today. There is a cure, and together we'll find it. And when that day comes, my biggest dream will finally have come true.
It's nothing new to say that men and women, too, have successfully endured the worst of physical pain one can imagine. But mental pain, I'm told, is something else again. Those skilled in the art of extracting information well know that physical force will often succeed, but mental force will always succeed. So, why not employ it at once, then? Because it requires great skill, exquisite subtlety, and is in consequence far more difficult to use. Be all this as it may, such thoughts had little if any interest for Todd and Tammy Stearns as they drove in an official government limousine toward the airport of a large city.
You really shouldn't have come to see me all this time, Tammy.
Break my record? I've gone to the airport with you every time you've made one of your mysterious, deep, dark, secret trips. Ever since we were married 4 years ago.
Yeah, but with Jill down with a cold.
Well, I could certainly take care of her for an hour or two. Todd?
Yes?
You're going to be all right, aren't you?
What makes you ask a silly question like that?
It isn't silly, and you know it. These trips you make abroad every now and then. Well, I don't know what they're all about. I've never known.
Because I've never told you, and I never will. The less you know, the better off you'll be.
Well, I'm not asking you to tell me. I know you won't. But it's not knowing that makes me bite my nails till you come safely back home.
Sorry, sweetheart, but that's funny.
What?
I don't think we're not. Driver? Driver, why did you take the left turn? You're heading away from the airport, not toward it.
Good heavens, Todd, we are at that.
Driver! Driver, answer me. Why?
Todd, look. The glass panel sliding up.
What the devil is this? Driver, what in blazes is going on?
He's just not paying attention. He's not even turning around.
I don't understand. Driver! Damn it!
He's hoping for a regular job. Let's get out.
And fast. It's locked. Both doors are locked, and I can't open them.
Todd. Todd, what does this mean?
I don't like to think what it means, Tammy.
But I sure wish you hadn't come along this time.
Oh, come in, Mr. Stearns, come in. Sit down, Mr. Stearns. Make yourself comfortable.
What have you done with my wife?
Oh, she's safe and comfortable. There's nothing for you to worry about, I assure you. Would you care for a drink?
As a matter of fact, I could use one. If it isn't drugged.
Drugged? That's a fanciful idea.
It's no more fanciful than kidnapping me.
Pat Price.
Who are you? What's this all about?
As to who I am, you can call me Mr. X.
Mr. X? Come on, you can't be for real. How corny can you get?
It's corny, I admit, but it's also safer. Infinitely safer than any name I might use. You see, X is an unknown quantity. As for what this is all about... your drink.
Thanks. What is this all about?
Oh, come now, Mr. Stearns. Todd, if I may. You know what it's about.
I'm afraid not.
You're lying, of course, but... Well, no sense wasting valuable time fencing with each other, so I'll tell you. I represent a group that's in the business of selling top-secret information of one country to another. You're in the business of conveying top-secret information from this country to another. The reason you were kidnapped and brought here was because we want the top-secret you were presently on your way to deliver to... Well, you know where.
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Now, let's not fence, please. I know that you are on your way abroad with the formula for a new bacterial gas, which would easily tip the balance of power in favor of the country possessing it.
Oh, and my government is willing to hand over a weapon as vital and deadly as this to another government?
It is, and you know why. The pact between the two governments, to keep each other informed and thus hopefully to maintain the balance of power.
You know, you've been seeing too many James Bond movies.
Now stop it, Todd. I want the formula. I mean to have it.
Well, you won't get it from me because I haven't got it. As I guess you know, your musclemen searched me thoroughly and found nothing.
I didn't expect they would. I'd have been very surprised, indeed shocked, if you'd been carrying such a formula worth untold millions on your person instead of in your head. Todd, I'm authorized to offer you $50,000 for the formula.
For a formula you've just told me can be sold for untold millions?
Oh, all right. How much do you want?
It's an academic question, Mr. X, since I don't have the formula.
Hmm. Would you consider $100,000?
I haven't got the formula you're talking about.
Listen, I'll leave you here alone for 15 minutes. When I return, I hope you will have been sensible enough to record the formula for me.
Look, I assure you...
Help yourself to the liquor. And, of course, you won't try to escape. As you see, there are no windows and only one door. And please, please, no more nonsense about your not having the formula. You have it, Todd. You have it as surely as we have your wife. Ah, Mrs. Stearns, I see you've been made comfortable.
What have you done with my husband? Where is he?
Now, there's no need to distress yourself, Mrs. Stearns. Tammy, if I may. Todd is presently as safe and as comfortable as you are. Oh, I see that you're drinking tea. Would you like another cup?
What is all this? Why were we brought here? Please.
Now, calm yourself, I beg you. You're in no danger.
My husband?
Nor is he. He's perfectly safe and unharmed at the moment.
At the moment? What do you mean by that?
Well, nothing more nor less than what I said. Tell me, how much do you know about Todd's affairs?
His affairs?
His work, his career, the duties he performs for our government.
Nothing. Except he's an undersecretary. Well, in some department or other. I don't even know that.
That seems rather hard to believe. Married 4 years and you don't even know what department he works for?
No.
Do you ever bother to ask?
Well, yes.
And?
Todd made plain to me he wouldn't tell me and that I was not to ask.
You love Todd, of course.
Of course.
How much do you love him?
I love him. I can't say more than that.
I think you can. I think you can say a good deal more than that. For instance, do you love him enough to suffer pain for him, a great deal of pain?
How would I know how much pain I could stand until I was standing it?
Now, you have a point. It'd be interesting, though, wouldn't it, to find out how much you do love Todd, how much pain you could endure.
I don't know why you're threatening me.
Threatening you, Tammy? No, not at all. Our discussion is purely theoretical, at least at this time.
At least at this time.
for the present. Well, you're threatening me even now. You're torturing at me by hinting at... I don't know what.
Well, let's hope there'll be no need for you to find out. Come in now, Missy. Thank you. Stay here with her. You know what to do with her if I send the signal.
Do what? What are you going to do to me if he sends a signal? Well, answer me. Please. Please answer me. What?
The tape is blank, Todd. You recorded nothing.
There's nothing to record.
Nothing.
If there is a formula such as you speak of, I've never heard of it. Now, why don't you just knock off this nonsense and let me and my wife get out of here?
Simply because there is a formula, and you carry it in your head, and you are going to dictate it into this machine before I'm through with you and your wife.
Tammy has nothing to do with this.
Hasn't she?
She has only the vaguest idea of what I do at the department, if she has any idea at all. Even if I had memorized a formula, which I haven't, I'd never have told her about it.
And why not?
Why not?
Because your work is precisely what I say it is. Top secret, high security.
No.
Then why wouldn't you tell her? You love her, don't you?
Of course.
Then surely you trust her.
Certainly I trust her.
But not enough to let her know what you do? Oh, you underrate her, Todd. You really do. That woman would do anything for you. Suffer untold pain for you.
And suffer untold pain for me.
Well, nothing really. She told me she would, that's all. Or what amounted to the same thing. It happened to come up in our talk together.
When did you talk?
Only a few moments ago. I went to see her when I left you. Had a very nice chat with her, very interesting and informative chat.
About how much pain she could stand?
Well, that was only a small part of what we talked about.
Now listen to me. She knows nothing.
Of course she doesn't. How could she? There's nothing to know, you say.
You harm her, and I warn you, Mr. X, or whatever you are, I warn you...
Todd, stop acting like a fool. Now, you know that you're helpless, and so is she. You also know that in one way or another you're going to give me that formula, so... Why not give it to me and save us all a lot of trouble, all three of us?
Three of us.
You, me, and Tammy. Now, here's the tape recorder. Begin. Very well. Come along with me, Todd.
Where to?
The cellar. There's something there I want to show you. Something I'm sure will change your mind. Here we are.
So, here we are.
Tell me what you see.
It's a room. It's not a very big room. With aluminum walls. They look like aluminum anyway.
What else?
There's a hole. Big wide hole in the floor.
What else?
Nothing I can see.
Look up. What do you see now?
Hanging from the ceiling. It's about a foot from the ceiling. Looks like a headsman's axe. An oversized headsman's axe.
With a very sharp cutting edge. Razor sharp. Note how the light gleams off it. And now there's something more for you to see.
Tammy.
No. You stay here. She stays there, on the other side of the room.
Tammy, are you all right?
Yes, darling. Are you?
Sure.
Sure. No, Todd. Two questions. Have you ever heard of a torture called the pendulum?
Yes.
And another called the pit.
Is that the hole in the floor? A wide hole?
The pit, yes. You have heard of it. You're not going to be sick, are you?
No.
Todd, don't make me subject you to the pendulum. Especially don't make me subject you to the... exquisite torment of the pit. Above all, don't make me subject Tammy to either.
No, not Tammy. You...
That depends on you. Now, the formula, Todd. Will you give it to me, or will you not?
If you were Todd Stearns, what would you do? Come, if you have the imagination I think you have, you are Todd Stearns or Tammy Stearns. What would be your answer? What would you do? Think about it until Mystery Theater returns with Act Two.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dan Dierdorf. Where would you go for a home equity loan?
Let's ask. Well, banks have the best rates.
But banks only lend money when you don't need it.
But Vanna National Bank is different. They lend money to people when they need it.
Right. With my credit?
They made their first loan 45 years ago to teachers who had trouble borrowing. They helped out when others wouldn't.
This is a bank, right?
For customers who get the flexibility only a national bank can offer, right over the phone.
You gotta move all your accounts there.
Nope, just call Advanta at 1-800-580-1619. One of their loan specialists will show you how to use the equity in your home to pay off all of your bills. Get one low monthly payment and save hundreds of dollars a month, plus a tax deduction. You'll get fast approval over the phone and your money in about 10 days. Hey, they don't keep banker's hours either. To get the loan you want, call Advanta at 1-800-580-1619. That's 1-800-580-1619.
Ghosts and goblins will be aboard the Heat Heaver Valley Railroad this Saturday for two Halloween boobash cannonball trains. The fun begins when the family train pulls out of the Heaver station at 2 p.m. for a 2.5-hour excursion. There'll be plenty to see and do, plus fun and games for the kids aboard the Halloween boobash cannonball. The humble DJs will be there to entertain the whole time. Dress in Halloween costume on the family train and get 2-for-1 tickets. The train again departs the Heaver station at 8 p.m. for the famous Halloween dance train. Refreshments will be available and dancing in the cars to the music of the humble DJ. Come in costume on the night train and all fountain soft drinks are free. Enjoy two trains on Halloween. The family train at 2 p.m., the dance train for adults at 8 p.m. Join the fun this Halloween aboard the Heath Heaver Valley Railroad's Boobash Cannonball Train. Call 801-581-9980 for reservations. And don't be scared.
Open the door with a push of a button. Push it over again and the door be shut.
Your garage door opener is a big part of your home's total security system. Price's Guaranteed Doors, the door specialist, reminds you that without a properly installed garage door opener, you're taking a 90% chance of someone having easy access to your garage and then into your home. It just makes sense to feel secure every time you drive away. There is a reason why the LiftMaster one-piece factory-assembled drive system is preferred over everything else. Call Price's Doors today and find out about the professional LiftMaster garage door opener. Install any LiftMaster opener in October and you'll get a free extra transmitter, and that's a $30 savings. Call today. Offices in Salt Lake, Ogden, and Orem. Check the white pages. Price's Guaranteed Doors, the door specialist, and they guarantee their work. Get the best deal of the year on a new Marathon Steel Security System storm door. The Turning Leaf, on sale now, only $2.99. See Price's Doors today.
In a room, a rather curious room, in the basement of an isolated country house, Todd and Tammy Stearns face a torture known as the pit and the pendulum. Face it, but need not undergo it if Todd would only tell Mr. X what he wants to know. Reveal the formula he carries in his head for a new weapon of destruction, a bacterial gas. As Todd gazes across the yawning pit with his lovely wife on the other side, Mr. X repeats.
Once again, Todd, I know it's a difficult decision, but it is one that you must make. Will you give me the formula or not?
I told you I don't have
now, that's
it.
That's enough. You have the formula. You memorized it. I know that. So no more time-wasting nonsense. Which is it to be? Will you give me the formula without forcing me to torture it out of you, or must I use force?
I have nothing to tell you.
Perhaps if Idlem works.
No need for that. I know.
But does Tammy know? Do you, Tammy?
No.
Tammy, look up toward the ceiling. That is a blade, you see, a blade shaped like a big headsman's axe, and it's razor sharp.
Don't listen to him, Tammy. He's trying to frighten you.
Exactly what I'm trying to do, Tammy, for reasons that are quite obvious, I should think. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Now, that large razor sharp blade, Tammy, is attached to a pendulum. A pendulum that swings back and forth and gets an inch lower on each swing.
An inch lower on each swing?
Yes. And so anyone strapped to that slab on the floor... Look down now, Tammy, to the floor. You see the slab with the straps?
Yes.
Anyone strapped to that slab will, in time, be cut in half.
Tammy, don't listen.
Slowly. Cut in half slowly, Tammy.
You wouldn't. But you wouldn't, please. You can't. You won't kill him.
Todd? Oh, gracious, no. He has what I want. I can't kill him unless we reach that perfectly wasteful moment when I have no option but to end this whole scene in death. No. No thought of killing him. You.
Oh, my God.
Tammy, did you hear me?
I heard you.
Then, my dear, would you try to do what I have failed to do? Convince your husband to give me the formula. But, Tammy...
How can I convince him if you couldn't?
Todd, have you no imagination whatever? Do you really think that you'll be able to watch Tammy kill before your eyes without breaking? No answer. Your silence could signify several possibilities. One, you're too shocked at the prospect to answer. Two, you could watch while your wife is slowly cut in half in agony, Todd. Todd. Possibly even you don't know at this moment. Well... All right, I'll give you time to think it over, to talk it over, both of you. Miss Z, you know where to take Mrs. Stearns. Mr. Stearns and I will join you there shortly.
Todd, I love you.
And I love you, Tammy. I love you.
You love her. We'll see how much very soon now. Very soon. Tammy? Glass of champagne.
No, it would sicken me.
Me too. It just isn't a dinner they've spread before us. It's a gourmet's dream.
Or the condemned's last meal.
Yeah. Darling, we've got to talk this out.
What is it to talk out? You told me that the secret, the formula that you memorized, if it got into the wrong hands, it could mean the death of millions. And if you give it to Mr. X, it will certainly be in the wrong hands.
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean? The group he represents, they'd sell the formula to the highest bidder. They wouldn't care who, just so that they got their millions.
Well, maybe for once, just for once, I've got to think of us, not the world.
But we are the world.
I know that, too. You're involved now. This character X could torture me to death, and... Well, I don't think I'd break... I don't think I would, but you can't tell till you're going through it. I've known agents who... Well, never mind. To face torture myself alone, that's one thing. But to watch you face it... Tammy, I couldn't bear that. Why are you looking at me like that?
You're going to have to bear it, Todd. You can't risk the lives of millions for one person, no matter how much you love her.
But that's the point I wanted to make. If I give X the formula...
Todd, you're not going to.
It doesn't mean that whoever buys it will use it to control the world. It could simply mean they would have a balance of power with us.
Instead of the government, whichever it is, you won't tell me, that already has a pact with us?
Sweetheart, I am just a courier. I'm not up there with the brass. A pact... Well, it's supposed to mean what you think it means, but... Well, sometimes... I don't know. Sometimes I think all it means is that both countries have the same amount of clout and can't rip each other off. How do we get into this?
Because this is what it's all about.
No. What it's all about is you. You getting tortured is what it's about. Tammy, X is going to make me watch you on that slab as the pendulum comes closer, inch by inch. Darling, I won't be able to bear it.
I think you will. I know you will.
You're a lot surer than I am.
Oh, dear, what a pity. The champagne, the food, you touched nothing.
Who is he?
A little quirk of mine. He fits in, don't you think? The black suit, the red hood with slits for eyes. Just right for an executioner.
Just right to scare the daylights out of your victims.
Exactly. Tammy, are you scared?
You better know it.
But you needn't be, you know. Not if you have succeeded where I failed. What is Todd's answer now?
You better ask Todd that.
Todd?
No. My answer is still no.
What point in it to undergo agony only to give in finally?
If one gives in.
You think you won't?
But you seem to forget. Todd's the one who has to give in. I don't have the formula, if there is one.
Think now, Tammy, think. You're lying strapped to that slab beneath the pendulum. You cannot move. Scarcely a muscle moves. You're looking up, staring at that great blade. It begins to move back and forth, back and forth, swinging and coming lower with each swing. Suddenly, time has sped by unaccountably. Suddenly, there it is, the blade, within inches of you now, within an inch, cutting now, cutting through your dress, delicately cutting. And now, on the next swing, it is going to slice.
Stop it! Stop it! Tammy, I can't let you do this.
I didn't think that you could. Bring the tape recorder.
Don't bother.
No?
Tammy.
Todd, this man is a phony. I'll stake my life on it. You're trying to scare Todd into giving you the secret formula. But if your scare fizzles...
I won't go through with this thing. I won't,
Well, I don't think you will.
In that case, finish your champagne, and we'll proceed. Todd, one final chance.
Mr. X, this is... It's senseless.
Makes plenty of sense to me. It would if I were in your shoes. That woman, that lovely, exceptional woman you were lucky enough to marry, lies strapped to the slab. When I give the nod to our red-hooded executioner, he'll press the button that starts the pendulum. Once started, it can't be stopped.
Can't?
No. It goes right on, down, and through. Should you change your mind, it had better not be at the last moment. It had better be in time for the executioner to pull her out from under the blade.
Tammy!
Don't give in, God. Don't!
You leave me no choice, Simon.
Do it! Damn it! Damn you! Go on and do it!
Very well. I give the nod. Gun its swing. You see it, Tom? Back. And forth. Back. And forth. An inch lower with each swing. Here.
That's the microphone to the tape recorder.
Take it. Use it. Tell the formula.
What is he saying to you? What is that happening to you? The microphone?
Yes. The mic of the tape recorder.
No, Todd, don't.
You'll die if I don't.
You cannot die. I'd rather die. Me than a whole world.
I can't let you. I can't let you.
If you can't let her speak, you got the mic in your hand. Start talking.
No. What's left if I do? What's left?
What?
She loves me. If I let her down... If I save a life and lose a million others, she'll hate me. What'll be left to me, then?
There are other women.
You, filthy. There are no other women. There's only Tammy. For me. Oh, my dearest. You are right. We've got to go through with this. For them.
I've met fools in my time, but you... It's within inches, three at most, from her body. Now, two. One. Cutting the dress now. You see? And the next cut. Talk, you fool. Talk fast.
But I hear him
the equation before it's too late. Watch!
What indeed? A man and a woman. Just another man and a woman like you, like me, stand ready to sacrifice or not sacrifice their own lives for others. Certainly the woman does. The man, I don't know. We'll see when Mystery Theater returns with Act 3.
Over the years, Delta Airlines has opened doors to some pretty spectacular destinations. Frankfurt, Tokyo, Bermuda, Rio, and Rome. Well, now, Delta Airlines has opened the door to a destination few have ever visited, but many a Cougar fan has dreamed of. The door to the KSL radio broadcast booth at Cougar Stadium. Delta Airlines would like you to be their guest at an upcoming BYU home football game as Sportscaster of the Week. You and a guest will not only enjoy the game, you'll receive an autographed football, lunch at the pregame party, a game program, and of course, sit in the KSL radio broadcast booth where you'll meet Paul James, Mark Lyons, and the rest of our crew. Plus, the six winners over the season will have a chance to win two round-trip tickets to anywhere Delta flies. To enter, send your name and phone number to KSL Delta Airlines Sportscaster of the Week, P.O. Box 1160, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84110-1160. The fax number, 575-7626. Remember, you and your guest must be 18 years or older to be eligible. It's another spectacular destination made available only by Delta Airlines.
Everywhere you go, down the mountain west, one name comes up when you're talking about the best. 1517 Harvey, sick and chill, to always treat you fair. Stop on by, say hello, we got a lot to show. We'll be your first choice for many reasons.
If you thought there just wasn't much of a Chevrolet closeout this year, you didn't check Gene Harvey Chevrolet. And Gene Harvey still has 70 new 1998 Chevys in stock, including 40 Chevy trucks and 8 extended cab dually 4x4s. With rebates up to $2,500 or financing as low as 0.9%, you can save over $3,000 on a new Venture and over $3,800 on a new one-ton dually extended cab 4x4. They've got to go. See Gene Harvey Chevrolet now. In American Fork.
It's the Shocktober sale with prices so low they'll give you the willies at R.C. Willie this weekend. On Saturday, everybody coming into the store will get a free toothbrush. You get the candy Saturday night, get the toothbrush during the day. And look for great prices at R.C. Willie on GE, Maytag, Mitsubishi, Lazy Boy, Lane, Broyhill, Whirlpool, RCA. You've got sale prices throughout the store at R.C. Willie. And KSL's Dunk Ride will be at the Murray R.C. Willie on Saturday from 10 to 1. They'll have lots of things to give away. We'll see you there.
Every color in the rainbow has its own kind of brilliance. If you don't appreciate the cultural differences in your community, who will? A message from KSL News Radio 1160, a Bonneville station.
I've said that there are all sorts of torture, these of mental and physical torment. And of these, mental anguish is worst of all. There are some who can stand physical pain better than mental, and vice versa. Moments ago, we wondered, would Todd Stearns break under the strain of watching the torment of his wife, Tammy? Would Tammy? Well, let's find out.
Todd.
What?
You fainted.
Fainted? Tammy. I remember now. Pendulum. Blade descending closer and closer, cutting through a dress.
Is she what?
Dead! Damn you, is she dead?
The tape recorder is right there in front of you. Dictate the formula.
Answer me. Is Tammy dead?
Dictate the formula.
No.
You will, if you want the answer to whether your wife is dead or alive.
Oh, no. If she's dead, then at least she's safe from you.
Ah, but if she's alive... I see it in your eyes, the agony of not knowing. Dictate.
No.
You've got more guts than I thought.
Oh, no. I'm as much a coward as the next man.
But you made a mistake. When you left Tammy and me alone together for those few hours.
Oh?
It's a funny thing, but I don't know why. Maybe it was just facing our last hours on Earth together, but we really got to know each other for the first time in our 4 years of marriage.
I made a mistake?
You made a mistake. You're licked. Dead or alive, Tammy licked you, and dead or alive, I won't let her down.
I see. Excuse me.
Bring her in.
Tammy. Oh, Tammy, thank God you're alive.
Oh, darling, oh, darling.
Are you all right? You aren't harmed. You're all right.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
No, you're not. Your hands. I can feel your hands.
No,
they're shaking.
I'll calm down, then I'll be all right.
Not if Todd goes on refusing to give me that formula.
You haven't given it to him?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad, darling. I'm so glad.
Your happiness is doomed to a short life, because I assure you Todd is going to do what I am.
No, not Todd.
Oh, yes. Let me say that I admire you, both of you. And you have every reason to be proud of this man you married.
Well, I am very.
But he is not a Superman. He has his breaking point, as all men do. I haven't succeeded in reaching that point, that's all. But unless he dictates the formula he carries in his head, I shall take final steps to reach his breaking point and yours quickly. Oh, by the way, your little girl, Jill.
What about her?
I thought you'd want to know. Your housekeeper, Anna, sent for the doctor a little while ago.
Why?
Is she worse?
I don't know. All I have is the report that the doctor was sent for.
You dirty rat.
Now, slowly. Slowly, Todd. Physical violence will get you nowhere.
This is part of your next torture, isn't it? Making us worry about Jill's condition.
And what will become of her should the two of you meet what you possibly may meet? Death. You leave me no choice but to subject you now to the kind of torment I tried to avoid.
Well, there can't be anything worse than the pendulum.
There's the pit. I see that you know something about it.
I don't know anything about it.
Precisely. You heard of the pit, but it remains an unknown quantity. And it will be that, the simple fact that you don't know what awaits you in the pit, that will break you. Just as not knowing why the doctor was called for your daughter has shaken you. Now, once again, will you give me the formula? Then it's the pit, I'm afraid. Back where we started? Or no? The pendulum, you see, is again in place in the ceiling. I will leave you alone now with just the pit. Oh, and, Todd, when you decide that you can't take any more and agree to give me the formula, just say so. You'll be heard.
Oh, I hope Jill's all right.
Don't worry, she is. There's no better doctor than Dr. Lynch.
Yes, but it's the cold that went into her chest. You know, her chest is weak.
Don't worry. It's just what that louse wants. For all we know, he could be lying. Anna never sent for the doctor.
You're right. I'm doing just what X wants me to do. I'm worrying myself sick. What are you looking for?
Something to drop down the pit.
Why, what for?
Find out how deep it is. Whether the bottom is solid or filled with water. Room's as bare as a bone, though.
Here.
Oh, your shoe?
You can buy me another pair when we get out of here.
I'll buy you a dozen pair. Okay. Here it goes. Funny.
I didn't hear a sound. Not a sound.
No splash? No thud of the shoe hitting anything? Nothing? The damn thing can't be bottomless.
It's either that or awfully, awfully deep.
That's for sure. Give me your other shoe.
Try again.
Yes. The first sound could have been so slight we didn't pick it up.
Yes.
This time listen carefully, very carefully. Ready?
Go ahead. I didn't hear a thing.
Shh. No. Nothing.
Let's stand back. I don't like being so near the edge.
I don't blame you. Thought of falling in.
No.
Sorry.
It's all right. I feel the same way.
Let's sit down on the floor. Against the wall.
All right.
Yes, that's better. Todd?
Hmm.
The wall feels warm.
It's a little too warm. Just move away a bit. Better?
Much. Oh, I'm sure Jill's going to be all right. I'm just not going to worry about her.
No.
Todd, that wall's getting hotter.
Well, we'll have to move away from it a little more.
And closer to the pit.
Wait a minute now. You don't think... Here, let me just see how...
Todd!
Burn my hand. The wall is as hot as an oven. Move over to that one.
Well, this one's as hot as the other. It's getting hotter.
So that's it. Don't you see? The hotter the walls get, the farther we have to get from them.
And the closer to the pit, until we...
Yeah, until... Are you all right?
But, darling, he's a spice. And we're moving closer to the pit.
Can't help us. He's on the wall. Getting worse.
Oh, God, hold me. Put your arms around me.
We are scared.
What is down there? We go over the edge. Oh, God, it's less than 2 feet away now. When we go over, what will happen to us? What?
Death, I guess.
How? How will we die?
Mike, try not to move any closer. Try.
Help me. Unbearable. You're moving closer to the edge, too.
I can't help it.
Hold me. Hold me.
Wait, I guess we... Wait a minute.
What?
Heat. It doesn't seem so hot.
Not so... I think you're right. It's cooler. Oh! The room seems cooler. Oh, let's move back.
It won't last long. That creep has got something else in store for us. But... You see? He didn't go through with it.
No.
Just as he didn't go through with the pendulum.
No, you fainted.
I don't think he would have gone through with it anyway.
Why not, Todd?
What?
Mr. X, Todd. I can see you and hear you. What's given you the sudden idea that I won't go through with things?
You want the formula.
True.
Kill me and the formula dies with me.
True.
Well?
Todd Stern's dead is worth considerable, too. Oh, not as much as the formula, but considerable.
I don't see why.
Very simple. It's worth a great deal for a certain government to prevent another from getting the formula. Keeps the balance of power unbalanced, you see. And now that we've settled that, do you still refuse to change your mind?
Yes.
Todd, I'm sorry to say that this time, I believe you.
Wait a minute. Tammy has no part in this now. You used her to break me down. You failed. What you used for her is over. Let her go.
He hasn't heard you. Or if he did, he said his final word. And I wouldn't want out anyhow. If you die, I want to be dead too.
Well, that's senseless. Pointless. I'm the one who has the formula, not you. There's no point in killing you if I... What's that?
What is it?
Machinery of some kind. But I don't know what it's for. Yes, I do.
God, what?
The walls. Look at the walls.
Moving. All four of them. Moving inward.
Making the room narrower. And narrower until...
There'll be no space, no floor space left.
Nothing but the pit.
Oh, Lord.
Heck!
listen to me. Let Tammy go. I beg you, let her go.
The walls pushing us to it. Oh, let me out. Let me out.
Tammy.
I can't bear it anymore.
You won't have to bear anymore now, sweetheart. No more. No. More champagne, Tammy?
No.
Todd?
What I want is an explanation of all this, and you better make it a good one, Mr. What is your name?
X will do.
But now we know it was all a test or a game or whatever it was.
I must still keep my cover. Look, I don't blame you for being angry. Simply put, we subjected you to a test to see how much you could take before you broke down. All operatives, couriers, are put through the ringer.
I never was before. I never even heard of it before.
Never would have if you hadn't reached that point in your career where we felt that you were ready. The formula you so painstakingly memorized, Todd, is worthless. There's no such thing as that bacterial weapon.
Oh, no.
But if there were, and you were caught by the kind of group I pretended to represent, we had to be sure that you'd never break, never reveal it.
And risk blowing my mind. Tammy.
No. You were never in any danger of that. From start to finish, you were carefully monitored by staff psychiatrists. We'd have known instantly if you were in any serious difficulty.
Well, I guess you'll have to do it.
Yes, we do.
Tell me something. What did we fall on? I mean, when I went over holding Tammy in my arms.
Special foam rubber. Dozens of layers of the stuff. You could have dropped an iron safe down that hole, much less Tammy's shoes, and you'd have heard nothing. Now then, it's over. You can relax and unwind. And what's more, Todd, you have gained something that you didn't have before. You've learned how much you can take. And, mister, you can take it.
I learned something a lot more important than that, if you ask me.
What would that be, Todd?
I learned... Tammy, I always thought you were pretty wonderful, but you're more than that. You're the most wonderful woman and wife in the world.
I'll be back shortly with a final thought.
Ghosts and goblins will be aboard the Heaver Valley Railroad this Saturday for two Halloween boobash cannonball trains. The fun begins when the family train pulls out of the Heaver station at 2 p.m. for a 2.5-hour excursion. There'll be plenty to see and do, plus fun and games for the kids aboard the Halloween boobash cannonball. The humble DJs will be there to entertain the whole time. Dress in Halloween costume on the family train and get 2-for-1 tickets. The train again departs the Heaver station at 8 p.m. for the famous Halloween dance train. Refreshments will be available and dancing in the cars to the music of the humble DJs. Come in costume on the night train and all fountain soft drinks are free. Enjoy two trains on Halloween. The family train at 2 p.m., the dance train for adults at 8 p.m. Join the fun this Halloween aboard the Heaver Valley Railroad's Boobash Cannonball Train. Call 801-581-9980 for reservations. And don't be scared.
Tessera is an old word that may be new to you. It describes each separate piece in a mosaic. Tessera is now also the name of a new collection of wines made from grapes selected from some of the finest vineyards in California. As in a mosaic where each piece complements a finished picture, each vineyard is selected for its ability to complement the finished wine. And when these grapes are combined, they produce wines that are exceptionally smooth. The result is that Tessera Chardonnay, Cabernet, Zinfandel, and Merlot display quality and character in every glass. Tessera. Say it. Let it roll around your tongue. Taste it. It's a word that may be new to you, but it's a word you may find yourself saying again and again. So look for the blue mosaic Tessera label. If you like wines that are smooth and flavorful, try Tessera. The best of California's vineyards every time.
Tessera. Dallas, Monterey County, California. People of legal drinking age should enjoy alcohol responsibly. Please don't drink if you're under 21.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And if you feel the story I've just brought you is one of the strangest you've ever heard, I can only assure you that even stranger things go on in this world. although our version of The Pit and the Pendulum was only based on Edgar Allan Poe's story, it's to this great master of the bizarre that we owe our story's, shall we say, electrifying moment. I hope you were properly shocked. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Marion Seldes, and Norman Rose. Associate Director, Marlon Swing. This is Hyman Brown, producer-director, inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, then, pleasant dreams.
This has been Yesterday Once More. Today we heard the CBS Radio Mystery Theater presentation of The Pit and the Pendulum. I'm Rob Hancock, taking this time to thank you for listening and hope that I can join you again soon to bring you another edition of Yesterday Once More. I want to thank Bob Acosta and friends for allowing me to come this evening and play this great program. I hope you liked it. It was neat. I like CBS Radio Mystery Theaters. Anyway, hope you all enjoyed it. Take care and have a very pleasant day.